welcome to Talk of the Town, the latest in music, art, and entertainment. I am Lisa Dascoli, and I am here again this month with my wonderful co-host, Annie Weiss.
Hey, Annie. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, honey, you are my other half. And I'm very excited because this is our Christmas show.
I am so excited.
And we did a theme thing.
Yes.
We have the author of a Christmas story behind the scenes of a holiday classic, Kaycine Gaines, who also is a friend of mine, so we're going to talk to him in a moment. But, you know, tell me what's going on with you, girl. What's happening?
Nothing much, just dating a lot.
You are?
Yeah. I went on a
back
date
on
Saturday.
The Tinder thing?
I'm back on Tinder.
Aye.
Ugh. Why? I don't know. I can't answer.
You know,
that.
I think it's kind of like one of those car accidents. You just can't help but look.
It's a train wreck.
It is.
Yeah. And I just keep swiping left, and then after I swipe left, there's like nobody left, and it's like searching for randoms. I'm like, this is my life. This is the way my life is going. Nobody around you, you know.
So, have you been out?
I have. I went on a date on Saturday.
Okay.
So he was definitely gay. 100%.
He wasn't on the waiting list.
100% born that way.
Okay.
Yeah. He was wonderful. Like, I had so much fun with him.
Of course. You talked about hair and makeup.
Oh, my God. Okay. No, we had wine. People watched. There was a wedding party there in, like, the bar that we met. And yeah. we talked about, like, the drunk bride. She kept breaking things. It was fantastic. I was like, wow, I feel really good about myself. And we quoted Mean Girls. It was
He's totally gay.
He's so gay.
Oh, no,
it was the best date ever. And I was telling my brother this, and he goes, well, Anne, I quote Mean Girls. And I was like, well, God willing, maybe you're gay, because...
Or he's on the waiting list.
Or he's on the waiting. You know what? If I had a gay brother, I would be more than happy.
Because?
Because they're wonderful.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can't say...
Because all of my friends have gay brothers, and I feel left out.
Oh, okay. So it's a competition thing.
Kind of.
Well, you know, I'm back on the dating scene.
You are?
I am.
Yay. Yeah. Get it, girl.
I don't know. I mean, actually, it's been kind of hard, kind of lonely. But a girlfriend of mine, she reads tarot cards.
Right.
You know, and she read my cards and she said to me, you know, there's a male that's going to be coming into your life. I said, really? She said, yes, but he's light haired. And, you know, normally I like the dark haired guys.
Right.
It's just, you know.
Same here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I adopted a cat. He's white. So I called her up. I said, son of a bitch, it was a cat. She said, well, I didn't say it had two legs. Now, I thought about this, and I thought, well, the cat can't talk, so it can't lie to me.
Right.
It's not going to use me for money or sex. And I had his balls cut off, so he can't cheat on me. So this may not be a bad thing.
Or you can just date gay men like I do.
Yes, there's that. There's that. The cat will not tell me if my hair looks good or not. So
right, that's...
So, all right. And what are you doing for the holidays, honey?
Okay, so I'm half Jewish and half Catholic. So, it gets confusing. It's like, what are we doing this year? So we try to light the menorah as best we can. I don't know the prayers, but I'm like, thanks for light, God. candles be well. And then we do the Christmas tree with my mom.
Okay.
And everybody's like, oh my God, Christmas and Hanukkah. You must have gotten so many presents. Nope, not us. Not me and my three siblings. You know what we got from our only Jewish grandmother? We got coupons.
Well, what were they coupons to? Anything good?
Like Dress Barn. Like nothing.
All right.
Nobody needs bedazzling on their butt. You know what I mean?
No.
That's all they have, a Dress Barn.
Yeah.
Like, my butt's big enough. I don't need more
to advertise.
Right.
I hear you. So I'm thinking we should get to our guest.
I would love to.
All right. Well, Kaycine Gaines is not only a teacher, a director. He is a pop culture historian. And he is here tonight to talk about two books that he has written. Inside Pee-wee's Playhouse, which is the untold, unauthorized, and unpredictable story of a pop phenomenon. Do you remember Pee-wee's Playhouse, Sandy?
I do. And the chair was my favorite character. The chair that's walked?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes. Okay.
That's from what I can remember.
and A Christmas Story, as we said before. And that was sort of my intention because, you know, we're doing the Christmas and holiday thing. So without further ado, Case.
Hey, how are you guys?
Very good. Thank you so much for coming with us, being with us this evening. I've been trying to get you on this show for months, but you are a busy man.
But it works now because it's Christmas time.
Yes. So see, everything happens for a reason.
Just like the cat and the Tinder. Everything comes together.
Now, how did you start out?
I've always loved pop culture books. I remember... this is probably really nerdy and lame, but, you know, in like fourth or fifth grade, I would walk around in elementary school with this giant book that Leonard Maltin wrote on the Little Rascals, and I would like shove it into my book bag, and it was mangled, and this book on the Twilight Zone that a guy named Mark Scott Zachary wrote, and just read about all these behind-the-scenes stories of these shows and movies that I loved, because... I guess that was an age before DVD and special features, and now it's so easy to know how they do everything. Right. But
do you notice that people are so fascinated with the behind-the-scenes stories and tidbits, and that obviously attracted you as well, was all of that information.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't totally know why even. You know, I guess there's some people... That resist like the behind the scenes, like they want to just watch the entertainment and not know how the magician did their tricks. But I always was interested in that. I mean, like you mentioned, I direct too, and I wonder if that's, as I'm speaking this out, I'm thinking maybe that's all related. But yeah, so I went to Rutgers in New Jersey, and
you study in Rutgers?
I triple majored like a freak. Like, I would never, I swear, I would never advocate for anyone to do that because it was just bizarre. But it was English, and I teach English.
Yes.
English, American studies, which is like history and sociology mixed together, and journalism and media studies.
Okay.
So a lot of writing really is what that amounts to.
But I have to say, just as a side note, that when this gentleman posts things on Facebook, it is some of the best moments of my day. I have stopped with, because I also work in a school as part of my day job, and I have shown other teachers some of your postings because they're just hilarious.
You can't make up.
No, you cannot make up this stuff.
You cannot write it.
It's Facebook is like my, it's like my third job. I don't even know what third or fourth. It's like I'm addicted to Facebook.
I do too. I get the shakes.
But the way the little tidbits that he throws out there, some of the anecdotes about your class and your students, and they're just hilarious. It's just, it's so funny to read.
What these kids come up with is like wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I can only imagine.
It's really, I love my kiddies. No, I really do. It's just, that is the most rewarding thing that I do. Really. It's just, I love sharing, inspiring. You know, I don't know how to say it in a way that doesn't sound like weird.
No, but I'm going to tell you something that you don't know.
Okay.
I work in Hackensack over the summer, and just because 6 degrees of separation, one of my coworkers actually was a student of yours, and I mentioned your name in passing because we were talking about theater and whatnot. And he goes, "Mr. Gaines? Mr. Gaines is a rock star."
That's
an honest to God story.
Oh,
you didn't
God.
Know that.
Thank you.
I said, yes, he is.
Oh, wow. You know, it's funny because I really have no awareness of how those kids see me. I really don't. You know, I just go in every day and try really hard to fight the good fight in that classroom. Especially, you know, education is such a crazy situation right now, especially in New Jersey, but that's another story.
Yes, but you know what? You make the best of it. You make it still worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to say because so many teachers are getting just jaded towards education, and you keep it alive and you keep it worthwhile for the students.
But the most important thing is the 40 minutes I have with those kids in the classroom. You know what I mean? And with all of the, you know, teacher bashing or whatever happens, you know, nationally or on the state level, it's really important for me to keep my classroom environment positive and, mm-hmm. and educational and focus on the things that matter.
Do you ever talk to them about any of the pop culture stuff, or do you have to stick to a curriculum? I know you, I mean, you, there's the curriculum
yeah,
that has
I mean,
to stuck to.
A little bit. I mean, I you know, being an English teacher, I have the liberty to bring in lots of references. So, like, when I talk about dramatic irony, mm-hmm. you know, I will reference, like, the shower scene in Psycho, mm-hmm. you know, and you see the shadow.
Do they
and,
get that?
I think they do. Okay. I mean, if anything, I think they appreciate the attempt, you know, okay. to sort of, right. to not make it just about... you know, a bunch of my students right now are reading A Tale of Two Cities, and they hate it. You know, they're just having a really difficult time with it. But I think they enjoy, you know, an opportunity to sort of access things that we're talking about, literary terms and things, mm-hmm. Through more contemporary references. Not that Psycho's, I mean, I guess in comparison to A Tale of Two Cities, Psycho is
no, but you certainly
the
can,
bee's knees.
You can make it relevant to them, and that's a gift, because that's what it's all about, is making that sort of material relevant to a 15, 16, 17 year old.
And that's what they hire us to do, you know, in my opinion. Otherwise they should just replace us all with online learning and you know, robots or something like that. But you know, having personal, you know, having people that can actually riff when they need to and go off script is important.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I wanted to mention real quickly, we are going to be having a second guest this evening. We have the wonderful Jerry Costanzo, who is a singer, and who will be joining us shortly.
Yes.
And, Annie, before we go, you have a wonderful live appearance coming up this week.
Yes, this Friday, December 12th at 7 o'clock, I'll be playing the Metropolitan Room on West 22nd in New York, and I'm very excited about it. It's going to be a great experience with Donna Loesch, and I'm headlining, so it's going to be great.
Excellent. That is so wonderful to know. You are listening to broadbandboxoffice.com. This is Talk of the Town. We are we broadcast the second Tuesday of every month. So just as a little commercial, we are our guest next month on January 13th is going to be Gregory Kay from Orange is the New Black. And what's the role he plays again, Annie?
He plays Red's husband. So if you watch the show, you'll understand Red's husband.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, back to Case. You also direct theater.
Yes.
And you have a company that you work with.
Hackensack Theater Company.
Did you start that company with?
Yeah, with Felicia Benson Kraft. We co-founded it. We were doing theater since 2003, and then we officially started Hackensack Theater Company in 2005. So it's we're approaching our 10-year anniversary. Our a tinfoil anniversary? What's the? I don't know what 10 years is. It's probably some sort of metal, I'm sure. I don't know what it is.
Very good. And what are some of the productions that you have done?
We've done amazing productions of Cabaret and Dreamgirls and Rocky Horror and Little
Rocky
Shop of Horrors.
Rocky
Horror, which
now,
everyone loves.
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, are you not doing that again this coming season?
Yes, we're doing this coming season. We're doing the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, and we're doing Rocky Horror in October of 2015, which is amazing that to have your life planned already. To
yes,
October,
I you know, and I know to many of our listeners and to most people that you speak to, that sounds like it's like, you know, what are you talking? It's a year away, but productions need to be planned that far in advance.
Yeah.
So you've got everything underway as already.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so in addition to Rocky Horror and Cabaret, which I know, by the way, I believe was a sold out.
Yes,
show,
Cabaret was, that was probably among the biggest things that we've done. And it was great, and it was just, it was filthy and PG-13 and, you know, maybe even higher than 13. It was a really great production though.
Now let me ask you, what brought you to directing?
Well, it's funny when I guess my freshman year in college, I had this realization that, like, I did all the school plays when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And
where did you grow up?
I grew up in Hackensack, New Jersey. So, you know, nearby. Well, I guess we're broadcasting everywhere, right? Nearby where we are right this second.
Well, yes. our studio is located in Nutley, New Jersey. But because of the beauty of the internet, we can be heard anywhere at any time. And
everywhere.
You know, everywhere. So you did tell people to listen tonight, right?
I did. Okay. I hope everyone on Facebook is listening.
Okay, I do too. Any shout outs to anybody in particular?
Yeah, I said that I would. Let me take a look. Deborah. Oh. Deborah's listening.
Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Deborah who?
Deborah, I'm looking it up. Cole Dietz. Deborah Cole Dietz. Oh, thank you so much. And she's commenting too. And I am teaching A Tale of Two Cities. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it too.
So
so then what brought you to this book?
Oh, yes. So so A Christmas Story. So I guess the first book was Pee-wee, right? And
all right, we'll start with Pee-wee.
I loved Pee-wee Herman growing up. I loved the show. I mean, I'm of that age. Literally one of my earliest memories in life is watching Pee-wee's Playhouse. I just thought it was so creative and subversive and colorful. And I don't even know if I had these thoughts like as a child, if I realized it, but I think, you know, growing up, I can see in a lot of ways how it informed my sense of being. How they came to be is I reached out to some of the cast members, just via Facebook, like as silly as that sounds, I just messaged some people. Mm-hmm. And they started sharing stories about working on the show. And as I spoke to more and more people, one of my coworkers suggested to me, why not turn it into a book? Which seemed like a crazy idea, but I said, oh, I'll try it. And that's how the Pee-wee book came to be. And A Christmas Story was a very similar deal. It was a movie that I loved growing up. And A Christmas Story, since it is the Christmas season, is just such a relatable story. You know, none of us grew up in the 1940s, yep. But everyone can relate to this idea of wanting something very badly and not getting it, which is childhood all wrapped up.
I think, I mean, this is my opinion, but what attracts me to it, and I think so many others, is the, relatability is the word, but we've all heard, you can't have this because, and that, you know, we've all had those situations. Every child has heard that verbiage from their parents.
That's all being a child is. You know, mm-hmm. being a child is just trying to trick someone into saying yes. You know, it's, can I go to the mall? No. Can I stay up late? No. Can I eat ice cream for breakfast? No. You know, that's all, or at least my childhood,
well,
that's all it was.
How about if I have milk that's frozen?
Exactly. You know, and that's it. But in this movie, I think, really gets at that, that idea.
Point.
Yeah, that
yes.
point.
And plus, the characters are so they're all humorous, but they're human mm-hmm. as well, and we can recognize ourselves in every single one of them.
Yes, an imperfect family,
that we all come from. So where can we get these books?
Oh, you can get them anywhere and everywhere. They're available on Amazon and in Barnes & Noble. They should be, at least A Christmas Story should be this time of year. You can get them if you want a signed one, if that's your thing. You can go to my website, which is CasseneGaines.com, CasseneGaines.com. Wherever books are sold, literally. I mean, that's one of those cliche things to say, but you should be able to walk into a store.
You actually have done a couple signings. When is your next book signing?
My next one, I am on Saturday, I'm going to Mystic, Connecticut, at Bank Square Books. That's from 10:30 to noon 30, just to be clear, on Saturday. And then after that, on December 18th, I'm at the Morristown Library talking A Christmas Story in New Jersey, and that's at 7. And then after that, December 20th, I'm in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, at the Barnes & Noble at the Neshaminy Mall. Since I know that we're broadcasting everywhere, so who knows, maybe someone is near one of those spots.
That's, you know, and I'm going to have you repeat those dates again in a few minutes just because I want to make sure everybody gets them. This way, if there's a signing that is near them, that they're going to have that opportunity. What a nice Christmas gift this would be.
Yes. Oh, yes. For the entire family. Everyone needs one.
You know,
I'm being serious.
It's obviously a Christmas, but it's signed as well. And that's such a treasure to have a signed book. I think so anyway. I think it's a great idea.
No, I agree. I love getting books. I geek out about that sort of thing.
I think
it's exciting.
I love that stuff. I really do. And I'll probably come see you in Morristown.
Yay! Yeah. Please do.
7 o'clock in Morristown.
7 o'clock in Morristown, the public library. And they're the people that arranged that are big fans of Gene Shepherd, who is the person who wrote A Christmas Story and does the narration. So I'm really excited. That's one of those, it's a book talk. It's not just a signing. So I have to come up with a spiel. So I've got about a week to
Well, now you can brag that you've been on a podcast as well.
Yes, absolutely. I will ask, is anyone here? Because they heard it on the Talk of the Town.
That would be so nice. Thank you. Now, can you stick around for a little while? Because
yeah,
I would love to introduce our next guest. I think a nice way to introduce him would be to let the audience hear a selection of his first.
Yes.
Okay. So you are listening to BroadbandBoxOffice.com. This is Talk of the Town. And our first selection is Don't Dare Go Away Mad.
I must confess what you say is true. I had a rendezvous with somebody new. That's the only one I ever had. Baby, baby, don't you go away mad. Cheating shows and it never goes. You got a reason to be mad, I suppose. But she only was a passing fad. Baby, baby, don't you go away mad. Her kind's a dime a dozen. That's not the kind I want. Who'd ever dream your cousin would wander into that restaurant? Oh! Must admit what you say is true. I had a rendezvous with somebody new. That is the only one I ever had. Baby, baby, don't you go away mad. Dozen, I should have passed her by. Who'd ever dream your cousin would come along and give us the high? Uh-oh. Must admit what you say is true. I had a rendezvous with somebody new. That is the only one I ever had. Now, baby, baby, don't you go away mad. Must confess what you say is true. I had a rendezvous with somebody new. That's the only one I ever had. Now, baby, baby, don't you go away mad. Come over here, give me a smile. Baby, baby, don't you go away mad. You know I love you. She meant nothing to me. Baby, baby, don't you go away mad. She's an old friend from college. It wasn't a date. Baby, baby, please don't go away mad. Come on. I was thinking of you the whole time. I swear.
Now don't you go away, man. Yeah, Tina. Okay. That was wonderful. Okay. You know, in another time and place, Jerry Costanza wouldn't be interpreting the Great American Songbook. It would be likely that he'd be conceiving it. Raised in a musical family, Costanzo's musical stencil was etched with the likes of Frank Sinatra, Perry Como, Count Basie, Mel Torme, Jerry Vale, and Nat King Cole. Quite honorable.
Quite the list.
Yes, masterful musicians. He was playing saxophone by third grade and developed chops as a performer by studying acting at New York's HB Studios. I studied there as well.
Oh, no way.
Yes, I did. And he also did a stint as a personal aide and chauffeur for Al Pacino.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And
sounds cool.
Well, we're going to make you answer some questions about that. So, ladies and gentlemen, the wonderful Jerry Costanza.
Welcome.
Thank you so much
Glad
for being
to
with
be
us.
Here.
So you have a musical family.
Yes.
And what does that mean?
That means that there was music and instruments and learning instruments in my house growing up. My father was a reed player, clarinet, saxophone. Mm-hmm. He was always in some sort of band, mm-hmm. whether it be a concert band or a swing band, like the Memories of Swing that I mentioned in the bio there. Mm-hmm. And concert bands. My grandfather was a musician. He came here from Sicily, and it says on his immigration papers, occupation musician.
Oh, wow.
And I have pictures of him in Sicily in like some sort of band.
Oh, that's so cool.
As a young boy. And a lot of my cousins are musical.
And how about your mother?
My mom is not a musician, although she can carry a great tune and she has a great voice.
Okay.
She was just always so shy, she could never be a performer on stage. That just could never happen. As a matter of fact, the singing probably comes from my mother.
Okay.
Because my father couldn't carry a tune.
He
could play the instrument.
Okay.
He was a great, you know, reader, but he didn't have the ear. Mm. I think mm-hmm. I developed the ear from my mom and some of my other relatives on my dad's side.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, did you start off by learning the old Italian songs? I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I heard all that stuff growing up. But, you know, I don't speak Italian. My father always said, you need to learn some Italian songs. I go, well, Dad, you spoke Italian, Mom spoke Italian growing up, but you didn't teach us Italian. You wanted us to be Americans because they're from that generation, you know, where they were ridiculed as, you know, as immigrants and second-class citizens. And so they didn't want us to have any part of that.
You a New Yorker?
I am a New Yorker. Well, actually, I was born in New Jersey in Teaneck.
Okay. So
and I lived in, until the first grade, I lived in, Rivervale.
Okay. Again, right by here. So it's all...
Not too far from here. It's Bergen County,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Absolutely.
And then after third grade, we ended up on Long Island.
Okay.
So I've been there pretty much ever since. A couple of places in between, a lot of places in between for me, but the family's from Long Island, basically.
Yeah. You can tell a Northern Jersey Italian or New York Italian because, it's that culture that... No, we want you to be an American. And it's funny. I went backwards because I learned Italian in school because,
mm-hmm.
quite honestly, because I wanted to know what everybody was talking
about. Yeah, me too, you know.
Because I was
My parents always spoke Italian to each other when they didn't want us to know what they were talking about.
But that was the reason.
I married a Japanese German, and she was born in Japan. And I hear so much Japanese when she speaks to her mother and some of her other family members mm-hmm. that I know more Japanese than Italian.
Oh, that's so funny.
So.
You have to hang around, Mr. Costanza. I'll teach you a few words, and not just the bad ones. So where else? I know you have a wonderful engagement coming up this Friday, which is going to be at the Triad. And it is stage 72 at the Triad, and it is at 9:30 p.m.
That's correct.
And you're celebrating Frank Sinatra's 99th birthday.
That's actually a... December 12th, the day of the show, is mm-hmm. actually Frank Sinatra's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no way. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
He would have been 99 this year.
S.
But
so.
I called the show Sinatra Inspired because although I learned so many of the American Songbook from listening to a lot of Frank Sinatra and Nat King Cole and all the other great male vocalists, I never wanted to be or be labeled as a Sinatra impersonator.
Right. Okay.
You know, because there's so many of those guys out there that, you know,
they work
at the post office on the, you know, during the week, and then they put on the hat and hold the whiskey glass and the cigarette on the weekend. I never, you know, wanted to be. I want to be Jerry Costanzo, an interpreter of the American Songbook, who had a lot of inspiration from guys like Frank Sinatra and Nat King Cole and Mel Torme and Joe Williams and all these great
now,
singers.
Now, why these gentlemen? I mean, I'm obviously they're masters, but what attracted you to them?
The style of their singing, the swinging style, the arrangements. They, you know, they all came from that era where they had these great arrangers who worked for them, like Nelson Riddle and Billy May and Don Costa, and the tunes themselves. I'm just, you know, in love with the American Songbook. I mean, I grew up in this, you know, in the 60s and 70s. I was a teenager in the 70s, and I was surrounded by, you know, disco and. Of course, it was part of it, and I know all those songs, but when I went home, you know, I put on my jazz records, I put on my Nat King Cole records, and I just loved the music, you know, it made me feel good, you know, evokes emotions, but a lot of the pop tunes, there are a lot of great pop tunes out there that could be, like, new standards, but there's a lot of junk out there.
Yes.
Well, it's, to me, once you've heard this kind of music and the just the arrangements and the beauty of it and the intricate sounds that are the way they fall together.
Right.
It's kind of hard to top that.
Right, and I'm also in love with the musicians, the real instruments, like what you just heard. You know, was a 9-piece band with 3 saxophones and a great arrangement of a standard called "Don't You Go Away, Man," and I just think. That's the thing for me. And I can sing that stuff. It just comes naturally to me.
Yeah.
And I can remember all the lyrics.
So
start playing the tune and I know all the words. And I know 1,000 songs, literally.
For lack of being cliche, it was your niche.
It was my niche. But I didn't realize it until I was probably in my
30s.
Okay. I saw that in your bio and it made me smile because so many people fear not knowing what they're supposed to be, and they're all of 21. So that makes me very happy that it took time to develop. And
absolutely, and it took time. Like my mother, I was very shy and stage fright, like you wouldn't believe. But I was always the kind of person who had to overcome all my fears. So stage fright was one of the fears that I overcame.
And how did you do that?
I just forced myself to put myself out there, just force myself to do it. Learn the music and just told myself, you know, people think I sound good. The people want to like you. Mm-hmm. When you go on stage, the people want to like you.
Oh, absolutely.
They don't,
if you
screw up, they're like, oh, so he screwed up a little. They want to like you.
Yeah. I mean, if I can drag Case into there, as a director, don't you, when any performer gets up to audition, you want them to succeed. Nobody wants them
absolutely to... And that's the, you know, it's funny because again at the high school level, that's one of the things that I have to remind the kids all the time, is that we want you to do your best. We want to cast a fantastic show. We want the show to be fantastic. So yeah, I mean, it does help, I think, to get people over their nerves, to know that everyone is supportive of them in their endeavors.
Right. You know, and later on I realized I kind of thrive on that anxiety and those nerves, you know, and it's like I kind of get after a show, I get this great feeling. If it's a good show and a lot of people showed up and, you know, and, you know, the music came out of my mouth like on a magic carpet, you know, there's that euphoria.
Yes,
there's that great feeling.
It absolutely is a euphoria.
Yeah,
so I kind of got addicted to that whole thing, even though there's still the fear every time.
Well, you know, a wonderful teacher of mine, an acting teacher, once turned around and said to me, because I remember before doing a show that I had a lead in, and I was just shaken to death. And he looked at me, he goes, I'm going to tell you a story about the great Ethel Merman. Okay. And he said, she was standing on the side of the stage once, and somebody asked her, "Miss Merman, don't you get stage fright?" And she said, "No, because if they were any better, they'd be up here doing it." And that, stuck with me.
And the way you said that kind of emulated Ethel Merman. You could start do a whole Ethel Merman tribute act.
Where's Richard? Where's my darling friend Richard? He would be
Merman-inspired.
Yes.
Merman-inspired. Yeah. Yeah.
I hope he's listening. I'll make him smile when he hears that. I would love to hear another one of your selections.
Sure.
And would you like to introduce this one for us?
Okay. We just heard Don't You Go Away Mad, which is a brand new single I just released, which is part of a larger...
Tell us about the album, the CD.
Okay, well, the CD that you, from the next tune you're going to hear is called Can't We Be Friends? And this was my... Oh, no, what am I saying? This is my last CD that was released in late 2013, Invitation. And this is a tune called You're Looking At Me. And I was kind of inspired by a lot of Nat King Cole stuff that he did back in the early, late 30s and early 40s. And the tune you're going to hear, You're Looking At Me, is something Nat King Cole did on a tune called The After Midnight Sessions. And I decided I wanted to do my version of that. So that's what we're going to hear right now.
Excellent.
You're Looking At Me.
Who had the girls turning handsprings? Crazy to love him, claimed he. Who could so misunderstand things? You're looking at me. Who was so sure of his conquest? Sure as a human could be. Who wound up losing the contest? You're looking at me. You're looking at me. Where is that boy? Who was certain his charms couldn't fail? Where is that boy who believed every word of this ridiculous tale? Who was so childishly flattered, thought he'd swept her off her feet? Woke to find his dreams shattered. Might I repeat? Might I repeat for you? Needn't strain your eyes to see what I want you to see. That's right. You're looking at me. Couldn't fail. Where is that boy who believed every word of this ridiculous tale? Who was so childishly flattered, thought he'd swept her off her feet? Who woke to find his dream shattered? Might I repeat for you? Needn't strain your eyes to see what I want you to see. That's right. You're looking at me. you're looking at me.
Beautiful. And again, that was Jerry Costanzo from his CD Invitation. Now, Jerry, where can my audience get your music?
Well, all my stuff is available on wherever digital music is sold. iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, you know, you name it. I can't even name them all. There's so many places out there. CD Baby, you can buy the physical CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can order it through Amazon, the physical CDs, especially this one, Invitation, Can't We Be Friends, and Destination Moon, which was my first release.
As I'm sitting here listening to your music, thinking to myself, here in New Jersey this evening, we have a really horrible rainy night, and how I would love to be sitting and listening to your music with a nice glass of wine in my hand.
Ooh.
And, I mean, doesn't that just sound...
That sounds wonderful.
That's the perfect way to spend an evening.
Absolutely.
To just...
Well,
if a lot of people did that, I would, wouldn't have to do gigs anymore. Just buy the music, and I'll live off of that.
I will say, you know, the holiday season is coming, and that's a beautiful gift to receive for anybody. I mean, that kind of music is classic, and it's ageless.
Timeless.
Yeah. And it's timeless. And
well, all one would have to do is Google my name or just put the word Jerry Costanzo in CD Baby or iTunes, and all my stuff will pop up.
Perfect.
I Googled myself one time, and I came up on like 10 pages. So
that's
awesome.
This
is good to
crazy,
know. So. I think that is good to know. Now, did you always know you wanted to be a singer, or
I knew I wanted to be something. You know, I tried the whole acting thing, and you know, growing up, my parents would be like, "Oh, get a real job. You know, take the civil service exam. You know, you'll never have anything to worry about." But so there was kind of crushing this, you know, this desire that was in me that I didn't even know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have dreams as a kid that I was on stage, and you know, and so it kind of manifested itself. And I worked for many years as a lineman, climbing telephone poles, building communication systems. And you know, one time I was up on a telephone pole, and you know, I had the radio on the truck down below me, playing, you know, my favorite standards. It might have even been here in New Jersey somewhere, but I was singing up on the telephone pole, and there was a second floor window at eye level, and a lady opens up the window and goes, "Hey, you missed your calling."
Aww. Now that's nice.
So, and I didn't even know she was listening to me. So, you know, so one day I literally went home. This was my own company. It was a corporation. I had these trucks. We did all this subcontracting all over, building these cable systems. And one day I just went home and never went back to work. I decided, this is it. I'm just, you know, I'm 35 years old. I'm just going to do this now so I can always say, you know, I followed my dream.
Right.
It worked. And, you know, what's the saying? Be careful what you wish for. Because it really snowballed. And I do this full time now. A lot of private events, fundraisers, corporate functions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm asked to sing at weddings all the time, a lot of the Sinatra shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And
again, you'll be at the Triad on Friday.
Right.
Now, for tickets and information, I just want to put this out there. Call 1-800-838-3006 or visit Jerry Costanzo, Brown Paper Bag Tickets.
Mm-hmm. Or just go to my website. The link is right there, jerrycostanzo.com.
Okay. And again,
that's the Triad at 158 West
72nd Street. Yes,
and
in New York
City.
We
have a wonderful nine-piece orchestra with a lot of all-star players that I've come to know. I've surrounded myself with some of the best jazz musicians in town. And they all know me. Now we got to get the rest of the world to know me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I hope that this show in some small way is somebody listening all of a sudden says, "Hey, that's really nice music. That's something I'd like to listen to more."
Mm-hmm.
And that's always my hope, is to bring this kind of culture to younger generations and let them know that, you know,
Well, thank God for Michael Bublé and, and those guys who are keeping the American Songbook in the forefront for the young generation.
I absolutely agree with
that. You know, I always tell people, you know, you can't afford Tony Bennett, so, you know, the next best thing. Give him a call if he's, if you, you know, when he tells you
and
his price, call me back.
And he's singing with Lady Gaga these days, so
he did a pretty good job with that. And she sounds really good, too. I'm very impressed. I didn't know what to expect when I heard that. And
she's
really
talented.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Really enjoyed it.
So
I'm jealous.
Me too.
You'll get there, Jerry.
I don't know. I'm just having a good time.
Well, our time is drawing short. So I wanted to take this opportunity to thank my guests. Thank you, Case. And again, Inside Pee-wee's Playhouse, The Untold, Unauthorized, and Unpredictable Story of a Pop Phenomenon, and A Christmas Story Behind the Scenes of a Holiday Classic, available on Amazon.com. Jerry, thank you so much for the beautiful music that you brought us this evening. Again, his website is jerrycostanzo.com.
That's it.
And you'll get to see all the different selections of music that you can get. And Annie, as always, thank you for being my co-host. Thank you for being my friend. And I hope that all of you have a beautiful and blessed Christmas a very wonderful new year. We will be back on the air next year on January 13th. Gregory Kay will be our next guest. So, this is Talk of the Town. I am Lisa Dascoli, and thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Hi, my name is Tom Ragu of the Tom Ragu Sit Down Comedy Show. You can listen to us at the Broadband Box Office, and for more information, please visit www.tomragu.com/podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Gonzo of The Bob Gonzo Show, and this is the Bob Gonzo promo to have you watch The Bob Gonzo Show. This is Sunny Winters, our weather girl. Sunny, promo the show.
Everybody, watch The Bob Gonzo Show. It's hilarious. Bob puts down his sandwiches to entertain you. We have talent, we have funniness, and the weather every single time. It's way better than looking out your front window.
Duh.
Duh.
And Gregory, do you have anything to add?
Don't remember sandwiches. But Bob Gonzo, I know him for many years. Good guy. Watch the show.
Did you watch this in Russia?
Yes, this show broadcasted in Russian language.
Yes.
Wow.
Back in Russia.
Right. That's the UK, right?
Putin himself watching before he goes to bed.
'm Randy Lupo, host of The Randy Lupo Show on Broadband Box Office. Wait, is that a tongue twister or an alliteration? Come meet my favorite people, comedians, actors, writers, spiritual people, and everyone in between. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
It's the Mark Dacey Show, filled with gifts, fun, and surprises, and $20,000 in cash for every viewer. Well, maybe not. But we do talk about stuff and things that you might want to think about after, before, and during the show. It's engaging, at least. So come by, won't you? We're here at Facebook, on iTunes. We broadcast from VK Media right here on the East Coast, and we're part of BroadbandBoxOffice.com. Check us out. Come by. Like us. Do what you can. Spend some time. Take some time off. Sit down. Have a viewing. It's happening. It's now. It's controversial. Or maybe not. But we could use a couple of more viewers. Maybe starting with you. Won't you?
Hello, this is Dr. Barry Prostowski. I invite you to watch Courageous Doctors, an exciting new show on Broadband Box Office about how healthcare is affecting you today.